Donald John Trump, 45th President of the United States. Well, on Friday, January the 20th, 2017, there was much pomp and circumstance, many prayers, and with hand upon the Bible and right hand raised, Mr. Trump took the oath of office to serve as President of the United States. Now, my guess is, amongst us, there are those that were for that, and there might be those amongst us that were against that. I think that there might be all kinds of different emotions, just like seemingly the media, it's on. The media has taken all kinds of different views and opinions and ideas about what's going on and what he's doing, and there are some for it and there are some against it. And so there might be all kinds of different emotions that we are going through. But I thought it might be a good idea, since most of us are thinking about that. My oldest grandson, he was just so excited about this inauguration that my wife came up with the idea that we'd have an inauguration party. So she fixed red, white, and blue cupcakes and red, white, and blue balloons and had flags and got it all together. And my grandson, he was in school until about 11 o'clock in preschool, kindergarten deal. And so he didn't get over till about 11:30, quarter to 12. And we ordered pizza and pushed the TV to show everything was going on and so forth. So I don't know that you celebrated it that way. Probably most of you had to work. But pretty big day, pretty big day, pretty big deal that was going on Friday. I want you to turn in your Bibles just for a moment to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. I must say that for myself personally, I normally don't get all that excited and that into politics and so forth. I was pretty excited back during the Reagan days. That dates me a little bit. That was pretty exciting. And some of the things that were going on then. Bush days were kind of exciting to a degree. But there seems to be an intense emotions both for and against our president today. And that's probably the way it's always been. But I must say to you, all the prayers that were offered such on the prayer service on Saturday morning, I don't know if any of you caught that, but there was just a plethora of different religious group representatives that came and prayed, some in English and some in I don't know what language, but there was all sorts of prayers uttered and offered. And I must say, I don't know that I ever remember, even back during the days of Reagan, I don't know that I've ever heard God's name mentioned as much. Now, whether we agree with their doctrine, whether we agree with what their belief in God is, I take great comfort in the fact that at least they are recognizing and honoring God. And I can appreciate that. And I do appreciate that. Back in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, and this morning there'll be no PowerPoint slides. I'm going to be asking you to turn to a number of passages as we will read from Scripture today. I think some passages that will give us a sense of, through the centuries, through revealed words of God, the way it ought to be, the way it should be. As we look to those who govern us, who they are, their responsibility, and our honoring such. I asked Mark today to lead a few of the songs that were led, and he very graciously consented to that, and I appreciate that so much. Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 11. The text says, "Now my son, the Lord be with you, that you may be successful, and build the house of the Lord your God, just as He has spoken concerning you. Only the Lord give you discretion and understanding, and give you charge over Israel, so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you shall prosper, if you are careful to observe the statutes and the ordinances which the Lord commanded Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear nor be dismayed." This is King David as he addresses his son Solomon, who's going to be king. And he gives him these instructions about how important it is, the job he is about to take. If you'll turn now to chapter 29 of the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. I'd like to begin reading verse 10. Verse 10, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. "So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said," in other words, David prayed, "Blessed art thou, O Lord God, of Israel our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in heaven, in the heavens and on the earth. Thine is the dominion, O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou dost rule over all. And in thy hand in power and might, and it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer generously as this? For all things come from thee, and from thy hand we have given thee. For we are sojourners before thee and tenants, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build thee a house for thy holy name, it is from thy hand, and all is thine. Since I know, O my God, that thou triest the heart and delightest in uprightness, I, in the integrity of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. So now with joy I have seen thy people who are present here making their offerings willingly to thee. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers persevere this forever in the intention of their heart of thy people and direct their heart to thee. And give to my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do them all, and to build the temple for which I have made provision." Then David said to all the assembly, "Now bless the Lord your God." And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed low and did homage to the Lord and the king. And on the next day, they made sacrifices to the Lord and offered burnt offerings to the Lord, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. So they ate and they drank that day before the Lord with great gladness. And they made Solomon, the son of David, king a second time, and they anointed him as ruler for the Lord and Zadok as priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and he prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. and all the officials, the mighty men, and also all the sons of King David pledged allegiance to King Solomon. And the Lord highly exalted Solomon in the sight of all Israel and bestowed on him royal majesty, which had not been on any king before him in Israel. Did you notice there that Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord? President Trump is president of the United States. He is under God. God is the ruler of all things. And just as Solomon was under God, so is Donald Trump, our president. So is, and so are, all rulers in this world. If you'll turn now with me to the book of Romans, chapter 13, and I know that we're quite familiar with this text, but I think it's appropriate to read this text in the hearing of all for us to better understand our relationship to authorities. The text says in Romans 13, beginning at verse 1, "Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those who exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves." When I read that passage, I cannot help but think of all the rioting that went on Friday and Saturday. We live in a country where we have the right to voice or have free speech and to even demonstrate. But we do not have the right in any shape, form, or fashion to be ungodly, to be destructive, to sin in the ways that these people have been sinning. That's exactly what this text is saying, don't do. In verse 3, "For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have fear? No fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good, but if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for the conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all who is due them what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." In the verse of the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, a passage that I heard read a couple of times, either on Friday or Saturday. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of the evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Jesus said in Matthew 22 and verse 21, "Render to Caesar, therefore, the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's." In the book of Proverbs, chapter 24 and verse 21, Solomon says, "My son, fear the Lord and the king." Now, when we read those kinds of passages, I think we see, and I just mentioned one Old Testament and that passage or example of Solomon, but it is important for us to understand that God has always intended for ruling authorities to respect and honor and obey God. God has always intended for us, the people, to respect and honor God, and to respect and honor the governing authorities. That is a rule that was under Old Testament law, and that rule is under New Testament law. So as people, citizens of the United States, there are going to be things that we don't like. There are going to be things that we have a position to we can vote. We can voice our opinion. But please heed God's warnings. We do not have the right to do evil. We do not have a right to sin in such a way as to being disrespectful, dishonoring, or even blaspheming God's anointed. I keep thinking about David and his thoughts about King Saul. And King Saul had been anointed as king of Israel upon God's throne. And he sinned against God. And he was sinning by chasing David. He tried to kill David. And David had a number of opportunities to kill Saul. But he kept saying this, "I will not lift my hand against God's anointed." There is a certain respect and appreciation for those that occupy a position, whether we like them or not, whether we agree with them or not, that God demands of us in being godly people. So it really does behoove each of us to be very, very careful what we put on Facebook, what we put on Twitter, what we say to one another. Because when we mock and make fun of those who are in governing authorities in an ugly and unkind way, you might call to remembrance some of these passages that we've just read. When we think about putting trust in our governing authorities, that's a little bit tenuous, isn't it? It's a little bit difficult. But we're not really asked to put our total trust in men at all. We're asked to put our trust in God. And while governors and while mayors and while Supreme Courts and while presidents and senators and congressmen may say and do and enact things and that we totally disagree with, there still is a respect we're to have for them, but yet there is a trust that we have in one. Trusting men will let you down. Solomon was God's king. He sat upon the Lord's throne. But we find, according to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13 and verse 26, that even Nehemiah himself, even Solomon himself, failed to be the kind of man he ought to be before God. And Nehemiah records this for us in Nehemiah, the 13th chapter, and in verse 26. He says, "Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin regarding these things? Yet among the many nations there was no king like him, and he was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, the foreign women caused even him to sin." This probably will not come as a shock, but Donald Trump is not a perfect man.
throughout the election process? Did he say things that he shouldn't have said? Has he done things he shouldn't have done? There have been a number of times that things have been mentioned from his own mouth that would cause any Christian to cringe. But now he is the President of the United States. Who is going to hold Donald Trump accountable? God. God will judge him. And it's important for us to understand that even Donald Trump will fall and fail, just like Solomon did. But yet, Nehemiah said he sinned, but God loved him. Now, embrace this for a moment. God loves Donald Trump. Now embrace this. God loves former President Obama. Now think about this. God loves President Putin. Now what you going to say about that? You see, men let us down because men are sinners. But remember, God loves every soul. In the book of Psalms, chapter 118, Psalms 118, verses 8 and 9, here is some great advice. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Great advice. I think it's important for all of us to recognize that we want to be able to trust those who are in governing authorities. They make promises. They make campaign speeches. And they say all of these things that they're going to do. And what they're going to change, what they're going to accomplish. They get us all fired up. They get us all excited because they say what we want to hear. As a general rule, what usually happens after they're elected? We're disappointed again. They don't do near what they said they were going to do. And so we're disheartened. We're discouraged. We're let down. We're disappointed. And I'm not suggesting that we cannot at any point be discouraged or disheartened because they didn't fulfill what they were going to say. But it does bring us to a very important point. Our total trust should be in God, not men. Honor men. But trust in God. We shouldn't even put trust in ourselves. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, the text says we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Now I must say this. This is probably the most political sermon I'll ever preach in my life. But there's no way that you cannot recognize that President Trump has a bit of an ego. But there is no denying that he has a lot of confidence in himself. Why shouldn't he? Look how successful he has been. Look at all the money that he has made. I don't know how many times he went bankrupt, but man, he goes to the bottom and bounces back up. He's been very successful. You know, I remember reading just a few moments ago about how successful David was. How successful Israel was. And what did David pray and say to God? None of this that we have belongs to us. It's all yours. It would be nice to hear our president and any and all make that same comment. Everything I have. You remember Nebuchadnezzar got in trouble with God about that. It was Nebuchadnezzar who stood up on his rooftop and he praised himself about how great his kingdom was. How great he was. And God, as he hears this little insignificant person on earth crowing the way he was crowing, as we would say in Kentucky, God plucked all of his feathers out of him and humbled him greatly. And later, Nebuchadnezzar got the message. And he gave all glory and honor to God for all that he had. God converted Nebuchadnezzar. I don't really know what our President Trump is. Sometimes he talks about 2 Corinthians. Sometimes he talks about God. Sometimes he talks as if he knows nothing about God. But I'm going to pray that he will be humble. Because it is only a humble man that appreciates and respects God. None of us have any right to be arrogant and boastful and prideful. Because all that we are, all that we have, has been given by God's grace to each of us. So the next time you stand upon the fence post and want to crow about who and what you are and what you've done, remember, don't trust in yourself. This morning's lesson was simply intended to put forth a very important message. I must admit, I feel pretty good about President Trump being president. I do not condone his language. I do not condone his actions. I do not condone so many things. But I'm going to be praying for President Trump. I'm going to be praying for our Supreme Court. I'm going to be praying for our Congress and our Senate. I'm going to be praying for all that are in governing authorities. We even need to pray for Jimmy, Mayor of Anderson. And I say that sincerely. Why? Because they are God's servants. Let's pray for their success. Someone likened it unto, now that President Trump is our president, and to be against him and act the way so many are acting would be like someone who is the pilot of the airplane and we are doing everything we can to make him unsuccessful in flying this airplane. What idiocy. What total craziness. Plus one very important thing. That's sinful. Pray for President Trump. But at the end of the day, let's not forget who we really trust in. Jesus Christ, our King. King Jehoshaphat said, "Listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God and you will be established." David said in Psalms 4 and verse 5, "Trust in the Lord." This great text of Proverbs chapter 3, beginning to verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil." Isaiah 26 and verse 4, "Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock." I think in these days and times, maybe this is the time that we can get the point. Again, maybe a little of a political statement. President Obama served for 8 years. Many promises. There were a lot of changes, were there not? Maybe some good. Maybe some bad. President Trump is going to come in and change a lot of things. Maybe some good. Maybe some bad. I want to tell you, I don't know really what we ought to do about Russia. I really don't know what we ought to do and how we ought to handle Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. Oh, there is a sense in me that let's just go over there and bomb and nuke everybody. Then the other side says, why don't we just get out of there and leave them alone? I don't know what to do. Do you know what to do? When the president says he's going to do this, and then you have CNN, NBC, Fox say 14 other things, do you stay confused? Me too. I don't know. I'm not qualified to be president of the United States. I'm not even qualified to be mayor of Anderson. I really don't know. But I tell you who does know. And that is God Almighty. I trust Him. And I want to tell you, God will make some decisions. He will make some decisions. And when He makes a decision, He carries it out. And I trust Him. I read back through the Old Testament about Edom. I read about Babylon. I read about Nineveh. I read about all sorts of countries that were world reigning powers. And they did not honor God. They laughed at God and they blasphemed God. God took them down. He destroyed them. United States could get too big for their britches, as my mama used to say. God can take us down too. Will God take us down? I hear sometimes people say, well, we're getting close to God's gonna bring a judgment. That might be. I don't know. When you start whittling on God's end of the stick, you're in the wrong place. I don't know what God's going to do. I know what He can do. And whatever God does do, it'll be the right thing. It'll be the best thing. I can't say that about any president. I can't say that about any Supreme Court justice. I can't say that about any mayor, except one president excluded. But I can trust in God. I want you to turn with me to the book of Daniel. Book of Daniel. And I want you to read with me one of the most beautiful passages in all Scripture. Daniel chapter 7, beginning at verse 13. President Trump, Friday, was inaugurated, starting a new office. This passage in Daniel 7, beginning at verse 13, is a coronation. One appointed a king. Daniel records in verse 13 of Daniel 7, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. There's a little bit of a commentary, I believe, about that great kingdom. Hebrews chapter 12, and let's begin reading at verse 22. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 22. The writer says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less shall we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, and now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. And this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of the things which can be shaken, as of created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." I'll probably never meet President Trump. And if I had the opportunity to meet him, I would certainly want to be respectful, shake his hand, appreciate him, honor him for the position that he holds. And if I had opportunity to say anything, to talk with him, I think I would simply encourage him by saying that I'm praying for him and praying that he will listen and ask God for wisdom to be the kind of president God would have him to be. I probably won't ever get that chance. But I'm going to do all of that, even if I don't meet him. But I'm a citizen of a kingdom that is not of this world. It is superior, it is greater, and it will endure and last forever. And Jesus Christ, our God, is our King. He is the one that I put my trust in. Let me illustrate something. The distance between the earth and the sun is 92 million miles. From the earth to the sun, 92 million miles. Now, this piece of paper, the thinness of this piece of paper represents that distance. 92 million miles. The thinness of this paper represents that distance. The nearest star in this particular galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, I'd have to stack papers 70 feet tall to represent the nearest star. To represent the Milky Way galaxy that we live in, with this same analogy, it would be a stack of papers 310 miles high. Do any of you understand that?
Me neither.
It's incomprehensible. I blow a fuse just thinking about that. But yet, the Milky Way galaxy is but a small grain of sand on the entire earth in comparison to the universe. And yet in the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 17, it is Jesus Christ, the Creator and the King of the kingdom, in His great power that holds all things together. Think about that. What keeps the earth going around the sun? What keeps the moon going around the earth? What keeps all of that in place? Jesus Christ holds it together. Now I kind of envision my little puny mind. Here is God, Jesus Christ, and here's the entire universe, and He's got it in His hand, and He's making sure everything just stays in place just like it's supposed to. What a great and awesome God. That's who you trust in. Go all the way down to that little bitty place called Earth, that little bitty place. Donald Trump does not rule the universe. Putin does not rule the universe. I don't rule the universe. And here's a shock to a lot of people. We ain't the center of the universe. Personally, God is the ruler of all things. Friday was a great day to a lot of people. But in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and verse 14, the very theme of the entire book of Revelation, these will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And those who are with Him are the called and the chosen and the faithful. I'm not going to go to heaven because I am a citizen of the United States. I am not going to go to heaven because I might be living in Russia. I'm going to heaven because I'm a member of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Give respect and honor and appreciation to those in ruling authorities, but put your trust in God. Well, I hope and pray that all of us will do just that. We're going to sing a song. What's the next song?
Trust and Obey.
Trust and Obey. I remember years and years and years ago, I don't remember, I guess I was probably about 6 years old when my parents became a member of the body of Christ. And I remember the preacher getting all of us little boys up front and wanting us to lead a song. And I think I've told you this story before. But the song that I picked out to lead was this one. And it's always stuck in my mind. And I've always appreciated the fact of what the words in this song really mean. Today, what I'd like you to go away with in your own heart: trust and obey God. That is the only way. And when you trust and obey God, you will honor and appreciate President Trump. You will honor and appreciate all those who are in governing authorities. If you're not a Christian, we'd like to encourage you to become one even today. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?
When we walk with the Lord,